Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let me read that again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Amen. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or seen in me, put it into practice. Amen. Put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Let me say that. And the God of peace will be with you. I want to start with asking this question to each and every one of us today. What drives your life? What is driving your life? Okay, when we look at that word dictionary, in the dictionary, the word drive, it usually means to guide, to control, or to direct. Okay, let me say that again. The word drive, if we look into dictionary, the verb drive means to guide, to control, or to direct. Okay, there are hundreds of circumstances, values, and emotions that can drive each and every one of us. But five common elements that drive us. First one is guilt. Okay, there are so many people driven by guilt because of the things they've done and because of the mistakes they've made. Because of this guilt and shame they carry, it kind of stops us from doing what God wants us to do. That is the first common thing. And the second one is resentment and bitterness. Because of the things that happen to us, we have this resentment and bitterness within us, and which stops us from mingling and fellowshipping with people that God wants us to be mingling with. God wants us to be in that fellowship with, okay? And the more we hold on to this bitterness, the more we hold on to this unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Okay, and sadly, the only person that's getting hurt and wounded is you and me, because we're holding on to this bitterness, because we're holding on to this resentment. The third thing is fear. Okay, fear of future, fear of the unknown, fear of the uncertain circumstances and situation. And personally, in my own journey, I've certainly experienced this a lot. For me, if I'm doing something that I'm not familiar with, all of a sudden fear creeps in. And because fear creeps in, fear can cripple us. Okay, and when fear cripples us, we lose our voice, and we lose the joy, we lose the peace in us. And the fourth thing is materialism. Okay, materialism. People work day and night for possessions. People work day and night to build up their career, like the things on the outside. Okay, but I firmly believe the gospel is all about what is happening on the inside rather than what is happening on the outside. So many times we focus on the things of the outside, the outer environment, and we forget the things of the inside, the inner environment. We can dress ourselves well on the outside, we can look good on the outside, we can look shiny on the outside, but the real thing we need to ask ourselves on a daily basis is what is happening on the inside. How is my inside? What is God doing in my life right now at the moment? Not what God is doing around me, but what God is doing in me. We need to ask ourselves that question daily. And the last thing is this. The fifth one is this. The need for approval. The need for approval. And I've spoken to a lot of people, and a lot of people struggle with this. People pleasing, okay? Sometimes we can be so focus on pleasing people, that we become, that our relationship with the Lord becomes more about pleasing people rather than pleasing God. So in other words, when I'm worshipping, when I'm lifting up my hands, why am I doing it? Am I doing it to look good in front of others, or am I doing it because I genuinely want to worship God? Whenever I'm preaching, or whenever I'm delivering something, why am I doing it? Because the question of what is great, you know, what I'm doing for the Lord and what are you doing for the Lord, that's all great, and we need to consider those things. But the main thing we need to consider is, why are we doing it? Okay, the question of why. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing what I'm doing today? Okay. And when we look at the life of Paul, we all know Paul, before he was known as Paul, he was known as Saul. And in his life, he has this radical encounter with Jesus Christ. Okay. And I wouldn't say he was atheist, because in a sense, he already had some sort of understanding. And I believe he already had teachings of the time where he was a firm believer in the Jewish tradition. He was a firm believer in the Jewish religious writings. He was a firm believer in the Torah. He was a firm believer of what was happening in Israel, and what happened in the life of Israelites when they were delivered from Egypt. But on his way to Damascus, what he has is, he has this awakening transformation in his life, where all of a sudden he realizes that Jesus is the true Son of God, and Jesus is the only one who was transforming the lives of many in his time. So for that to happen, he needed a radical encounter in his own personal life. And on his way to Damascus, he had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And when he has that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of things changes in his own personal life, all right? And it's not about what was happening around him, but it was all about what was happening in him. And the first thing that happens to him is, all of a sudden, now he knows his purpose. Okay, now Paul knows his purpose. And because he knows his purpose, that gives meaning to his life. Okay, second thing, that gives meaning to his life. And when we look into the story of Paul, and when we look into the life of Paul, his past experiences does not disqualify him. Okay, his past experiences rather qualifies him for what he is about to do for the kingdom of God. Amen. His past experiences is actually qualifying him for what he's about to do for the kingdom of God. And in your own personal life, you might look back and you think, oh, because of this, I'm disqualified. Because of this, I don't think I'm fit for the task. But the Lord would actually look at you, and the Lord would actually look at your past, and the Lord would actually say to you, because of your past, now you are qualified for this task. You are the right person for this task. Amen. And because of the path of Paul, he was the right person for that task, for what God was about to do in his life and through his life. So we just looked at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. And we know that it was Paul who wrote this letter to the believers in Philippi. And so when Paul's writing this letter, Paul is in prison. Paul's locked up in prison for sharing the gospel and doing the works of the kingdom. And when Paul is in prison, he's still active. Okay, on the outside, he might be chained. On the outside, he might be very limited within four walls. But he is still making ways of reaching out. He's still making ways of sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, encouraging the churches in the local areas. And Paul happens to write this letter to this church because Paul was seeing some uprising issues and challenges within the culture that was trying to dishearten the believers within the church. And so he found it a necessity to encourage the believers, and he found it important that he needs to encourage the churches in Philippi. So when we look at verse 4, this is the first thing that Paul wants the believers in Philippi to take hold of. Okay, Paul writes to them, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Okay, what Paul's trying to teach them is, Paul's trying to teach them the art of self-encouragement. There will be days where you will feel like you don't want to worship. There will be days where you will feel like you don't want to pray. There is this desire that you want to pray. There is this desire that you want to worship, but you are fighting this battle. You are facing this battle, and everything within you is crying out, don't do it. Just give up today and just don't worry about it. Okay? But what Paul really wants the believers to grasp hold of is this, to accept that you and me, we cannot change what is happening to us, but we can change what happens inside of us. Amen. We cannot change what is happening to us. We cannot stop people from saying a lot of negativity to us. But what we can do is we can choose how we react to those negative comments. Take authority of what is happening inside of us. And therefore, Paul is encouraging the churches, listen, rejoice. You will always get these people saying things about you. You will always get outsiders coming in and trying to discourage you and dishearten you. But don't take them on board. Don't take them closer to your heart. You need to grab hold of them and let go. You need to let go and you need to choose to rejoice. You and me, church, we need to choose to rejoice. I need to choose to rejoice. I cannot let my emotions mess me up. I cannot let my fear mess me up. I cannot let resentment or anger or anything mess me up and ruin my joy. Today, I will make that decision of rejoicing in spite of whatever is happening. Amen? And today, let's make that decision. In spite of whatever might be happening, we choose to rejoice. We choose to rejoice in the Lord. Second thing is this. We look at verse 5. And in the verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And what Paul's trying to teach the believers in Philippi is this. Action speaks louder than words. Okay, action speaks louder than words. And he's also trying to teach them that they don't have to prove anything. But all they need to do is they need to keep doing the right thing. They need to keep doing what is right. They need to keep doing what is right. Because in the context, okay, a lot of things is happening. And because of all the hate that the church is receiving, because of all the negativity that the church is receiving, some of the believers are fuming. They're like, hold on, man. Like, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm not going to let people do this to me. I'm not going to let that people do this to me. I'm just going to react differently and I'm going to show them what's what. But Paul's trying to say to them, listen, 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 hold your guns. Hold the fire. Don't just go mad about it, okay? But choose to do what is right. This is a scripture where it says, in your anger, do not sin. That's exactly what Paul's trying to say to them. In your anger, do not sin. But rather, let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In spite of if that person treats you wrongly, treat that person in the way Jesus would treat that person. Okay? I love what Martin Luther King Jr. said, okay? Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Amen? And what Paul's trying to say to them is, listen, okay, they might be angry at you. They might be saying this and that to you. But your reaction does not have to be like theirs. Show them the godly way. Show them the Jesus way. Show them what gentleness looks like. Show them what forgiveness looks like. Show them what love looks like. Show them what caring for others looks like. Show them what godly family looks like. Show them. Show them. Don't say stuff to them, but rather show them, because action speaks louder than words. And in today's world, I firmly believe this is so, so important for each and every one of us. We need to display the love of God through our actions. We need to display forgiveness, not just with our words, but with through our actions. We need to show love, not with just our words, but with through our actions. Because God is an acting God, and if He is an acting God, then we need to be acting believers in Jesus' name. Amen? We need to, and it's so, so important. And Paul wants us to grasp hold of this truth that he understands in his own personal life that If there is anything, only love can drive out hate. And if there's anything, only light can drive out darkness. And I love the fact, straight after when it says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Wow, the Lord is near. When we show the love of God through our actions, they don't see us, they see Jesus. They see Jesus. Because all of a sudden, they see who Jesus is. And in the early church, people were there for one another. Churches were there for one another. In the early church, all the believers, they got together. They were committed in prayer. They were committed in breaking of bread. They were committed in meeting together. They never stopped meeting together, whatever the situation or circumstances. They continued to meet together. And because of that, a lot of people saw something in this Christian community. And because of that, a lot of people were curious about what this Christian community is all about. And how come, in spite of all that is happening on, how come they're still meeting together? How come they're still showing care for one another? And that was the attraction for a lot of outsiders, which made them want to know more about Jesus, which made them want to know more about the church. And I believe it needs to be the case for us as well, where we continue to show care for one another, where we continue to show love for one another. And can you imagine what the community will look like if each and every one of us were so busy building each other up rather than pulling each other down? Can you imagine how powerful and beautiful that church would look if people stopped comparing themselves with one another, stop competing with one another, stop pulling each other down, but rather started building each other up? Wow. And that is the kingdom, where everybody's so busy building one another, where everybody is so busy caring for one another and encouraging for one another. That is the kingdom of God. Amen. That is the kingdom of God. So when we look at verse six, this is what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And there are two spiritual practices and priorities from this text that Paul wants us to understand. Praise and prayer.
Yeah.
Two powerful weapons we have. Praise and prayer. Okay? In the life of Paul, his emotions did not overrule his reality, but rather his decisions overruled his emotions. Okay? Sometimes we can be victims of our emotions rather than becoming conquerors of our emotions. Let me say that again. Sometimes we can be victims of our emotions rather than becoming conquerors of our emotions. And I firmly believe God wants us to be conquerors of our emotions. Amen. Conquerors of our emotions. Those five emotional things that I presented before we got onto this text about guilt, resentment and bitterness, fear, materialism and need for approval, all of these things. God wants us to conquer these things, not be victims of these things. God does not want us to be victim of guilt. God does not want us to be victim of resentment and anger. God does not want us to be victim of need for approval. God wants us to conquer these things. Amen. God wants us to conquer these things because Paul himself conquered these things. And that's what Paul's writing to the church saying, listen, okay, there's loads of things like this. There's loads of struggles. I understand. But what you need to do is you need to stop playing the victim game and you need to start becoming a conqueror. Amen. I need to stop playing the victim game because sometimes I can play a victim and that's not doing me any good because the word of God is there for me telling me I need to be a conqueror because the word of God reminds me over and over again that we are more than conquerors, amen. And if you and me, we're more than conquerors, and it's time for us to do something about this emotional drive that keeps on driving us everywhere, every time. We need to take authority. We need to take hold of all these things and throw them aside and look to God and press on to what God has for each and every one of us. It's time for us to rise up and take our stand in Jesus Christ. And the only way we'll be able to do that is by following these two principles: prayer. We need to pray right now. Everything or any time we struggle, whatever we see lying in front of us, rather than playing the victim game and running away from it, we need to pray to God to give us strength to crush these giants that lies in front of us. And the scripture reminds us, if we have faith even as small as mustard seed, when we say to the mountain, move, it moves. It's not because of what we've done, but it's because of Jesus, because we have faith in Jesus. And because when we have faith in Jesus, that faith mixed with prayer equals to power. Amen. Faith plus prayer equals to power. And because there is no faith, prayer isn't working. That's what we need to. It's time for us to have our faith in God back again. We need to keep trusting God. We need to have faith. Because when we're praying, we need to believe. It's no good for me to just pray if I'm not believing God's going to answer my prayer. Amen. I need to believe. Church, we need to believe. Whatever we're praying for today, we need to believe. And I firmly believe that God wants each and every one of us to pray with faith. Pray with faith. And the second principle that aligns with it, like I said earlier on, is pray. Okay, when we're going through some hard time, the last thing the enemy wants us to do is pray. Okay, the enemy wants us to lose our voices. The enemy wants us to stop praising God. Because he wants us to focus on the things that's not going right for us, rather than focus on the things that's going right with us. Okay? He always brings to our mind things that aren't going well for us. But he never reminds us things that God has done for us. And the things that God can do for us and in us. And in those times, we need to remind ourselves that when I praise God, God will do amazing things. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Because there is power in praising Jesus. When Paul and Silas, when they were locked up in prison, Paul understands all of this. Paul remembers all of this as he's writing this letter. And Paul's like, listen, I know the power of praise. I know the power of prayer. And that's why Philippi, Philippians, I want you to grasp hold of this. There is power in praise and there is power in prayer. And when you're going through some tough circumstances, when you're going through some tough mountains, when you're going through some tough valleys, you need to continue to praise God. Don't ever stop praising God, whatever the situation, even when you're having a sad time, continue to praise God. Even when you're having a difficult moment, continue to praise God. Even you're having a joyful moment, continue to praise God. Whatever happens, you need to continue to praise God. Because when Paul and Silas started praising God, their chains came off and they were free, amen, and they danced, and they continued to praise God. They could have just played the victim game and said, you know what, God, we did our best. You said you were a faithful God. God, why is this happening? Why is that happening? But they chose to pray. They were like, God, I thank you that we're in chains today. I thank you that you are greater than these chains and shackles that's holding us and bounding us. God, if you want, you can lose our chains. And as soon as they say that, chains came off and they started rejoicing. And all the other jailers and all the other prisoners, they rejoiced with them in prayer. As well, and that is the power of praise and worship. Amen. That is the power of praise and worship. And when we look at the next verse, it says, and the peace of God, come on, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we can lose our peace. Why? Because our focus is everywhere. Because our focus is not on the right things. Because we're looking at things that is draining us rather than energizing us. And that's what Paul wants us to understand, that we have to be on guard always. We have to guard ourselves always. We have to build this wall around us always. Because unguarded strength is double weakness. Okay, unguarded strength is double weakness, and unguarded city is vulnerable. And a parable just came to mind, actually, a parable of three servants, and this one master, he's going away on a business trip somewhere, and he calls all his three servants, and to one servant he gives let's say £100, to another servant he gives let's say £500, and to another servant he gives £1,000, or even dollar for those of us who are in America. And he is going away, and he says to them, listen, I've left you all this money. It's up to you now. Whatever you want to do with it, you do with it whatever you want to do. And the first one who gets £100, what he does is that, listen, I know my boss. Speaking to himself, he's like, I know my boss. My boss is a ruthless man. And if he sees me, like, and if I invest in something that I shouldn't invest, and if he sees that I've not made any profit, he's going to punish me. He's going to maybe sack me from my job, this and that. And he's scared. He's proper petrified. And he's like, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hide all this money and I'm going to save it in my savings, in my bank, in my current account. Okay? And he leaves it there. And the second man is like, oh, I've got this £500. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to invest in this place and I'm going to see what profit I'm going to get. Okay, he's investing this £500 in this place, and within a year he doubles the money, and he's got £1,000 in his hands. Okay, and this is third man, he's got £1,000 in his hand. He's like, oh, what should I do? He's looking for opportunity, and he's talking to different people, and he finds a great opportunity to invest in a small business somewhere. And next thing you know, the business has £1 million thrown over the next year, and he's got like 3,000 extra pounds profit. And he's made £4,000. And so the boss comes back after a year or so, and the boss kind of calls this man he left £1,000 to, and he says, what have you done with the £1,000 that I gave you? And he's like, Master, you're not going to believe this. When he left, like, I had this money, and I'm thinking, where can I invest this money? And I saw a small business, and I saw what they were doing was great, so I invested in that place. And because of my investment, now I've tripled the money, and I've got like £3,000 profit. And he's like, well done. Okay, the master said, well done to him. And the second one, he looked at the second one and said, what have you done with the money? He's like, Master, I had this £500 and I was looking for ways, and I invested in this little business that they had, and I've got £1,000 now. So Master looks at me and goes, well done, faithful servant. And the master looks at this man who had £100 and is asking him, what have you done with the £100 that I've gave you? And he's like, Master, I know the kind of person you are. So I was very fearful for my own personal life. So that's why I didn't do anything with the money, but rather I saved it. I kept it in my bank account. Okay. And the master looks at him like, he's like, I gave you that money to invest. I gave you that money so that you do something with it, not just keep it. Okay, he could have at least put that money in savings account or something that would have given him some interest. Okay, but he doesn't even do that. Right? And there's a principle in this parable for each and every one of us. Sometimes we're so busy eyeing on other people's gifts, eyeing on other people's blessings, that we're actually missing out on our own blessings. You know, God's given us something, it's in our hand. But we're so busy looking at other people's foods and giftings and blessings, what we have in our hands is going to waste. And in this text, Paul's trying to challenge them. And Paul's saying to them, listen, you have to learn to guard your heart. You have to stop looking at other people. You have to stop looking at other people's blessings and their giftings and their talents. But rather, you need to start sharpening your own gifts. Because that is the only way forward. Paul's trying to say to them, listen, this is not time for competition. This is not time for looking at other people's blessings and this and that. This is time for you to seek God, this is time for you to guard your own heart. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart. And then the reason why we don't have peace in our hearts, one of the reasons is because we're too busy focusing on other people's businesses. The reason why we don't have peace in our hearts is because we're too busy scrolling on Facebook and wishing our lives were the same as the other person's life. And we compare our worst day to someone else's best. You know, we think grass is always green on the other side. No, no, no. Grass is always greener where it's watered. Amen. Grass is always greener where it's watered. And if we want our grass to be greener, we need to water it. We need to water it. And the only way we can water it is by investing what God has given to us, wherever we are. If God planted us in a church, we have to be faithful and we have to use our giftings to help the church reach out the community. So in that servant's hand, the master gave him some money, but he didn't even look for a way where he could invest it. He didn't, because he was so busy looking at other people's blessings and what God gave them rather than focusing on what God gave him. Yeah. And my brothers and sisters, church, it's time for us to focus on what God's given me and what God's given you, and sharpen the gift what God's given us, and focus on how we can build one another and focus on how we can serve one another to reach out wherever we are, to reach out this world for the kingdom of God. It's time for us to do that. Amen. So the first one was, we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to learn the art of self-encouragement. Second thing was, action speaks louder than words. We don't have to prove to anybody. We have to just keep doing what is right. Third thing is, we need to practice two spiritual practices, praise and prayer. We need to do that. Fourth thing is, we need to be on guard always and not let familiarity convince me of choosing a path of compromise. We need to stop comparing ourselves with others, and we need to think about how we can build one another. And I need to think about how I can sharpen this gift that God has given me to reach out to others for His praise and for His glory. And the fifth thing is this: taking every thought captive. Okay, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay, think about such things. And I love the message that Andrew preached a few weeks ago about the battlefield in the mind. And it's true. Okay, every day we face this battle, we go through this battle. We can be in the same place, but we can face, we can all be facing different battles all the time. And that's why it's so important for us to take every thought captive. Rather than playing the victim game, like I said earlier on, rather than playing the victim game, today I choose to be a conqueror. Our declaration needs to change. I'm not going to be a victim today, but rather I'm going to conquer my battles. I'm going to conquer these fears. I'm going to conquer these negative thoughts. We need to take every thought captive. This is about taking every thought captive. I'm not going to fall into the trap of self-pity. Paul was in prison, but that did not stop him from spreading the gospel. Self-pity isn't going to change the situation for us. It's not going to change it. Okay, what it'll do is it'll cripple us from moving forward. It will always cripple us from moving forward. But rather, we need to learn to divert the negative into positive. We need to learn to divert the negative into positive. Let me say that again. We need to learn to divert the negative into positive. We need to learn to take every obstacle as an opportunity to grow. Let me say that again. We need to learn to take every obstacle as an opportunity to grow. Every battle, every obstacle is an opportunity. Every obstacle is an opportunity. It will teach us. It will help us to grow. We need to own our failures. Okay, if I give in to my failures, a few weeks ago I was cutting grass. And like you guys know, we've got a big field in our church. It's a massive field. And usually whenever I cut grass, I always wear a mask. And Andrew and Grace, like, they keep telling me, listen, you need to wear a mask. And which I usually do, but for some reason on this day when I was cutting grass, I mean, I was getting carried away with the heat, sun was shining, the weather was nice, and I'm like, well, I'm loving this. So I think I got carried away and I got on with the lawn. I'm cutting grass, and next thing you know, I'm like, dust is attacking me everywhere, and I've got dust all over me, and I've not got my mask. And I was all right for a few hours. But later, when I got home, I jumped in the shower, and as soon as I came out of the shower, I'm like sneezing, my head's everywhere, like I'm getting a bit dizzy, and this was a deadly hay fever attack.
Yeah.
And I didn't know hay fever could be this bad, but yeah, hay fever was bad, and my head was everywhere. And two things I learned from it: always wear masks. Okay, now always wear a mask. Okay, but two things came out of this, that's what I'm trying to say. One thing I learned, always wear a mask, but two things that came out of this was this, okay? For me, I could have easily said, do you know what, that's it, I'm not going to cut grass anymore, because every time I cut grass, I'm going to get hay fever. I've got a good excuse there, I'm not going to cut grass because I get hay fever, but, okay? That was one of the things. And the other thing was this, okay? I'm going to get hay fever. That's why I'm going to wear a mask, but I'm still going to cut the grass. Did you see that? The first one was, I'm going to get hay fever, so I'm not going to cut grass. The other thing was, I'm going to get hay fever, but I'm going to wear a mask, and I'm still going to cut grass. So if I give in to my mistakes, that will make me, I'm going to get hay fever, I'm never going to cut the grass. But if I own my mistakes, that's going to teach me, I'm going to get hay fever. So before I get hay fever, I'm going to wear my mask, but I'm still going to cut grass. Amen? I'm still going to cut grass. And in our journey of faith, we fall. It's not the case of if we fall. It's the case of when we fall. We will fall. We will make mistakes. Okay? And we will... Yeah, there will be days where there will be nothing, no energy, no strength in us left because of what we've done. Okay, and in those circumstances, these exact two things will come to us in our minds. One will say to you, listen, you've messed up, that's it, pack your bags, go out. But the other thought will tell you, listen, you've fallen, but that's okay. Pick yourself up. Now you've learned from it. Now you will be much more wiser. Amen? Now you will be much more wiser. But the decision is yours. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the enemy that will tell you, listen, you've messed up, pack up your bags, go. Or you're going to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that will say to you, listen, you've fallen, you made a mistake, but so what? You picked yourself up, you've learned from it, you've become much more wiser. Now carry on. It's up to us. We have to take every thought captive. And that's what it says in here. We have to think about things that are pure, lovely, admirable, right, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about such things, Paul's trying to say to the believers. And that same principle applies to each and every one of us as well. And lastly, verse 9, he says, what have you learned from me or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Lastly, we have to let go of our ways, and we need to let God fill us with His ways. Let me say that. We need to let go of our ways, and we need to let God fill us with His ways. It's time to let go, church. Let go. We need to let go of our understanding. We have to.
Yes.
And we need to begin to trust God. We need to let go of our past. We cannot change it. But what we can do is we can look back and we can learn from it. And that's what we need to now focus on, the things that is in front of us. We need to focus on the things that is in front of us. Amen. We need to let go of the things that's holding us. We need to let go of our past. We need to let go of resentment. We need to let go of the need of approval. We need to let go of fear. We need to let go of shame. We need to let go of guilt. We need to let go of bitterness. We need to let go of past hurts, past mistakes. And we need to look forward to what God has for us, because God wants us to have that peace in us, because God wants us to continue to serve in Him. Amen. And I love what Andrew says. When we do this, nothing will stop us from serving God. Nothing will stop us from praising God. Nothing will stop us from worshiping God. Nothing will stop us from praying to God, because the Prince of Peace will rule in us. Amen? Because the Prince of Peace will rule in us. Don't let these things drive you. Instead, let the Prince of Peace drive you. Instead, let the Word of God drive you. Instead, whatever is pure, whatever is worthy, whatever is excellent, like whatever is true, whatever is lovely, let those things drive you in your life. So I'm going to finish up with the same question. What is driving your life today? What is driving your life today? In Jesus' name.